I'm getting like a download while I'm sitting here, so I'm just going to share it with you that spirit, unseen beings, whatever, are saying, like, they are so proud of what we're doing here. This is it. We're living it. We're singing it. We're being it. We're embodying it. We're here together because we can feel that energy, right? We can feel that there is something magical happening now. There is a shift that we are a part of. There is a knowing that we are here by divine appointment. Right time, right place. Right? Specifically, right time, right place, too. So thank you for coming. Yeah, because truly, I mean, I'm not saying that to just sell unity, but in a good way, I am, you know? No, really, years ago, I was introduced to some business principles, and I was like, sales, no, you know, that's icky. And it's like, well, do you believe in what you're sharing? If you believe in what you're sharing, you want to shout it from the rooftops, right? And so, you know, you call it what you will. It's just how we feel and what we know and what we want to share. And that's all what we're about right now in our series. By the way, hello to the folks online. And thank you to our amazing AV team. Any little tweaky thing, they're like, on it. and it's smooth day, week after week as well. So we are grateful. So how's your co-creation going? How are things happening? You know, the David Owen Ritz, who wrote Keys to the Kingdom, a prosperity system and class, he said that if you're not sure what the vision for your life is, look at your life. You're living it, right? Because we are constantly in these laws and principles, and they're always working. And so if we don't like what we see, we can change the tune, change the channel, so to speak. So this series that we've been in, the Create Laws, every letter of Create is a different law that we're speaking about. Today we're on A, but we're doing double A today. But essentially, this whole series really coalesces around principle number 3 in Unity, which is about co-creation. And the way we describe it often is I co-create my life experiences by what I think, feel, and believe. I co-create my life experiences in this way. And today's A is the law of attraction. So the law of attraction at the heart of our series, really, this idea of the law of attraction, thoughts and feelings attract like experiences. And then the other A, the double A that we're putting in there today, is the law of appreciation. And we describe that as what we praise increases. So it's all kind of connected, right? You can see where attraction and appreciation might go hand in hand. And so we're going to talk about both of them a little bit today. So 11 years ago, Brendley and I decided, living in Columbia, Missouri, that we were going to move to California. Been a dream I'd had on my heart for a long time. California dreaming, you know, people do that. It's true. It's true stuff. And a congregant came up to me and said, "Are you out of your mind?" And I said, "Well, I'm not sure where you're headed, so just let me know what's going on." And she said, "It is so expensive to live in California. So what are you going to do for work? What are you going to do for living? What kind of house are you going to live in?" And little did she know, you know, we had 2 bigger dogs. It was probably going to get hard to rent a place. We had no plans. We were just packing up and heading this way. You know, we kind of looked at where we might want to be, and we decided on one of the most expensive cities in California, Santa Barbara. I mean, the plot just kept thickening, you know. And so I responded, though, because I had been on this journey for a while of thinking about it, of working the law of attraction, of Brenly and I working together. We even read the law of attraction book by Abraham Hicks, Esther Hicks, and did the exercises in the book, and we had a shared affirmation that we were speaking together. So I had come a distance when she came up to me with this question. It might have been a little shakier ground earlier on in my process. And I said, that is none of my business, and I walked away. And it's true, right? Because the how is none of our business. We give it over to Spirit if we're in this co-creative partnership, and we put it out there. There are things we need to do, of course, to make things happen, but there is a point when we can't get mired down in the how is this ever going to work? How is this ever going to happen? That does seem so unrealistic. Blah, 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 right? We can quiet that part of our mind so we can get busy creating and working these laws and make and bringing forth the kind of life and world we want to experience. So you know, if you may know, that people that live outside California, at least, embedded in the cultural consciousness is when we think of California, we tend to think of Hollywood and surfer dudes, right? And so during that time, I had two different nighttime dreams that I was working in the movie business with Brad Pitt. And I tried this on. I was like, wow, like a whole different career even. This is getting really interesting. And I was like, well, I do like to write. Maybe I'll be in script writing, you know? Maybe I'll work beside Brad Pitt on a movie. You know, so all this was just, I think, Spirit's way of gifting us that kind of mindset that puts you in the place of anything is possible and what might happen, and it's fun and it's creative and it's, you know, just casting a new life for yourself. We can do this at any time, by the way, but we definitely do it more at big transition times in our lives. And so I bet for Brad Pitt, if you think about the Hollywood success he's had and been voted twice, not once, but twice, sexiest man alive. I bet there was a time in his life where he has said, anything is possible. This young boy from Springfield, Missouri, by the way. So according to the law of attraction, this is the edict. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Holding that kind of thought and the feeling space that comes with it is really a way to work this law, is to be in that law. I think it's... I'm forgetting the fairy tale. I'll think of it in a minute. I guess it was Alice in Wonderland. No, it was looking through the looking glass and through the looking glass, where you think of so many impossible things before breakfast. That becomes the practice, right? Or we dwell just on goodness, right? We think good thoughts about good things. That's what Paul wrote to the Philippians when he said, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about those things. Next time you find your mind going in the other direction, think about something praiseworthy, something lovely, something pure and admirable, and you will be back on your way to the alignment with the divine and the co-creative spirit of your life. So we're in a prosperity class right now on Wednesdays, and we're at the point of setting our goals. And the instructions are not just to write down your goals, but once you write your goals down, you try them on and you feel into them as if they are already accomplished. And you get in that kind of feeling nature that you say, oh, wow, that feels really good. That feels really spacious. It feels really open or peaceful or whatever your goal is, that invokes a certain kind of feeling. And we begin to feel, as some would say, act as if, and then be, but that feeling nature is a fuel. So over the years, we've often talked just about thoughts and beliefs, but I think the feeling piece is really key because it does have that kind of, if you will, good juju in it that helps us raise up into whatever it is that we are wanting to create. So feel into as if it's already arrived. So back to a little bit more of our story in terms of the housing and work and how that played out for us. It's amazing when I think back on that. The housing was like, we had traveled across the states and we were at Sedona, still no place to live, calling people, looking online, and this beautiful vacation Airbnb type apartment opened up for us, 2 blocks from the beach, 2 big dogs, no problem. Come on, fireplace, king bed, you know, we're just like kitchen, everything we needed. And we felt like we could afford to start out anyway. And then we got a house. And after a year, it was like, yeah, these prices are pretty, I mean, get kind of tough, you know. And so we had to get a roommate. You know what? It turned out that the fact that California housing is expensive was the greatest blessing that came into our life. Because we needed a roommate, we found Alice and Grace. And Grace is our goddaughter that we talk about all the time. And some of you have met her, right? And so what a blessing in our lives that now we have this little 10-month-old child, and then she lived with us in kindergarten and preschool. And so all the blessings just kept going. It gets better, folks. So after that, a Tibetan Buddhist nun moved in, which was really interesting for a while, right? And then after that, a friend of ours said, hey, would you like to come up to the Santa Ynez Mountains and live with me at Sedgwick Reserve, 6,000 acres of pristine nature for free? Okay. So we lived there for a year and a half for free. And now we live in this cool Unity house provided by Unity of Walnut Creek. And this isn't even, I'm not even touching on the work, right? But you know where we arrive, the best place of all. I get to serve at Unity of Walnut Creek. Yeah, it's good stuff. It works when we work it, as Sue K. Riley says, but we have to work it. Do whatever it is. You know, there'll be different approaches, different exercises out there, different practices that work for you. You don't have to do them all. You don't have to do them all perfectly. Just do what resonates for you. Just pick something up and do it. And wreck it and become more aware and more aware of your thoughts and feelings and how you can shift things. So there's a lot of energy right now on the fact that 71 days from now there is a national election, right? And so what do we do with that energy? What are we doing about that energy? What are we co-creating? Where do we want our minds and hearts to be? Where do we want our country to be? It's for each of us to decide that very important thing. And yes, we have the power of the vote, which is very powerful. And we have the power of our feelings and our thoughts. And so what is it that you want to experience? What kind of leadership do you want to have? What do you want our country to do next or to experience? What do you want to experience as an American? Considering all those things, then when discussions and your thoughts go to places of what you don't want, guess what you're manifesting more of? What you don't want, because like attracts like. It's the very basis of this law. So every time you catch yourself talking about, complaining about, fearing whatever it is that you don't want, allow yourself to move into that space of vision, of goals, of can do, of energy that brings forth what it is that you really want to experience. So Mother Teresa said it best. She said, you know, I won't go to an anti-war protest, but whenever you do a peace rally, invite me and I'll be there. In other words, I'll put my energy into what I'm for, not what I'm against. And so being really clear about that can really shift our lives and the energy of what we manifest in the world around us as well. So the bigger picture is that we are a united people, that we can imagine being united people, regardless of our party affiliations, our voting records, and so on, regardless of our opinions, or maybe because of it, because it's part of the diversity of who we are, right? That we are stronger because of that diverse, those diverse backgrounds and opinions and so on. We can hold that ideal together. That's a divine idea, and that's a divine idea that we can think and feel and appreciate into being. Sometimes we just need to reset our minds and our hearts on this journey of life, don't we? There are just times we need a reset. I'll tell Brenly I need an attitude adjustment, and that usually means I need to jump in some cool water somewhere. But whatever it is for you, you know what works for you to adjust, to bring forth the best that you have to give, the best you have to experience in life. So if we reset our minds, we can, you know, allow our minds to shift into higher thoughts, into better thoughts, into thoughts that will then produce feelings that feel good and bring forth what it is we want. So do you ever have that experience where you're looping through thoughts that are unnecessary and unhelpful? Anybody? Oh, good, I'm not alone. And this seems to happen, at least for me, when I'm trying to sleep. Anybody else have that experience? Yes. Well, I found two methods that work, and they boil down to this. Dump and divert. So for me, if it's sleep, I keep a notebook next to my bed, and if my mind is going busy, I turn on a little dim light, get my pen out, and I dump all those thoughts out. I just write them and dump them, and it's like, ah, my mind feels spacious and empty and ready to rest. And the other thing I do, either if that doesn't work or just a different choice, is to divert, because we know what the mind does, right? The mind is doing its job to think. That's what the mind does, it thinks. And so it's gonna keep thinking, 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 thinking. So give it something really good to munch on, right? So I'll put my headphones in and I'll listen to Yoga Nidra for sleep meditations. And it's like magic. Just move right into that space of relaxation, of spaciousness, of rest, of openness, and turn the dial down. So whatever, you have your own techniques. I offer those, so maybe those work for you. Or it doesn't have to be about sleep. It can just be busy-mindedness, and you want to open the spaciousness and receive more of the peace. And to shift to better feelings, as for feelings, what do we do when we're at the bottom of the emotional spectrum or the emotional ladder, which is probably despair, I imagine. It's probably one of the most difficult emotions at the bottom down there somewhere. So if we're in this space of despair, can we go to joy in one fell swoop? Chances are no, right? Not realistically. Chances are it's sort of an incremental ladder kind of climbing experience. So what can help us from despair is one little ray of hope, right? One little ray of hope. Do you know what the biggest engine that could, that chugs us along on that emotional ladder is? Do you know what the practice is or the attitude is that will help us the most? Gratitude. Absolutely. Gratitude is it. Gratitude is that energy that uplifts. It allows us to take the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. Thinking of one thing you're grateful for, looking around your room, wherever you are, even if you've got the blankets over your head, and it's like terrible, and the world's terrible, my life is terrible, and nothing's working. And then suddenly you open your eyes and you go, oh, I love the color pink. You know? Darkness is so sweet. I love this warmth. You know, whatever it is, we can find something we're grateful for. And then maybe another thing, and another thing, and another thing. That's why I so love that you did harmony for I Am So Blessed, because it was just the process right there. There's a blessing that comes in, and then another blessing comes in, and it's this multi-layered crescendo of greater and greater experience of gratitude. And pretty soon, we left despair far behind, right? We're into hope, we're into maybe faith and peace and joy eventually. So that's the process. That's how we get to where we need to go. You know, if you think for a moment about all the blessings and privileges we have in our lives, every one of us sitting in here, even if you're going through the roughest of times, I bet you could come up with a very long list of blessings and gratitudes if you tried. So, all that we are, all that we have, all that we are continuing to build on and to give into this world, the list is endless. Establishing mind and heart health is kind of essential, right, to help us on this spiritual journey, to reconnect us to our source. And so what can we do? You know, I think for the mind, it generally, for me at least, it seems like relaxing, spaciousness, openness, surrender. And what are the practices that bring that forth? Meditation, maybe a creative project that allows you to just be, nature, rest, movement, you name it. And for a healthy heart, for a heart that feels lighter and brighter and more joyful, maybe play, right? Or reconnection to spirit, to self, to someone else, call a friend, go out to lunch, have some laughs, whatever it may be for you. Prayer certainly is a big piece in enlightening our hearts and bringing our hearts into that state that we want to be in, to establish that state of co-creation. So in the process then, we let go of the how. We let go of the need to know the exact way to control how this is going. So there is a letting go process, our mental hold on the outcome. And there is an opening of the heart, like as if the desire, the dream, whatever it is a dove, and we're just letting it go, right? We're giving it over to the universe. And keep your hand open after you do that. Because it is in that open-handedness and that open-heartedness and open-mindedness that we receive. Think about Noah and the great flood and the ark, and he lets go the dove, right? And then the dove comes back. And so too in this journey, the dove comes back. Sometimes the dove comes back with a message, and the message might be go here, go there, take this next step, take that next step. Or sometimes the dove comes back with a gift, like an olive branch. Some kind of symbol, which is one of Spirit's favorite ways to communicate. So letting it go and then keeping our hands open to receive. So this is all helpful for when we are manifesting what we want to manifest, but I always want to also speak to the times when things go south. Then what do we do, right? Things aren't working so well for us. And it's the same law, no matter. It's the same practices, regardless of what's happening. Like attracts like. So it behooves us to know what's kind of our MO. What is the habits of our mind and the habits of our thoughts and the habits of our hearts and the habits of our feelings? What do we tend to coalesce around or to continue to have running through our hearts and our minds? What's the sort of general way in which you're showing up, in which you're putting out in the world and putting into yourself? And if you find that you're, in general you're uplifting or downshifting? And so if in general you're downshifting, you can bring some compassion to yourself, right? Some empathy for yourself. What would your God do? Exactly that. What would your best friend do? Exactly that, right? A little love, a little extra love, a little extra warmth and compassion. And then a recognition, okay, what can I do from here? And then the shift begins. So awareness is probably, I don't know, 80, 90, 99% of the spiritual journey. Because once we're aware, once we see, once we're paying attention to what it is we are thinking and feeling and that using that powerful energy, we can make the change. Because now we know. Before we were just being led along blindly by whatever it is that came to heart and to mind. Once we're in that space, it's like we unlock the prison and we're holding the key to joy. Golden key is something that Emmett Fox came up with. Did anybody ever hear about the golden key? And Emmett, some of you know. Emmett Fox was a divine science teacher who was influenced by our co-founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. And the golden key was a little booklet that he wrote. And in it was this idea that whenever you find yourself thinking a thought that doesn't serve you, you shift your attention to the divine. You start to think about the divine instead. Have a thought about the divine. That can be a lot of things, right? But you bring yourself into that shift. He even used it as like an action or a verb. You can golden key the situation. You can golden key your own mind. So Brenly and I are working with this family that are going through some troubles right now. And, you know, sometimes we each or both get mired in the problem because it's just constantly changing. There's all this different stuff going on. And we have to remind ourselves that we have to give this over to the higher realm, that that's where the problem's going to be solved, right? At a higher level and in the higher realm. And so it helps when we have a partner who can remind us, and by partner, I mean anyone, a prayer partner, a friend, a child, a parent, somebody who lives with you or somebody you get together with, whatever it is, it can be helpful to have a partner so we can mirror for each other and remind each other the kind of state we want to be in, to golden key our minds and to say, okay, this is not where we want to be. You know, we'll remind each other, and then one of us will pick up the conversation again and say, oh, wait, I thought we gave that over. Oh, right, we did. Let's give it over. Let's go have some fun. Let's let it go, because it's not in our power to solve. And so that's when we do these things, it brings, in our case, it's brought us peace of mind, and it brings more help to our friends. We can be of more use. And so, too, for all of us in whatever scenarios we are. In fact, if we just took that as our mantra or our affirmation, it's being worked out in the higher realm. I'm giving it over to the higher realm, you know, and so allowing that allness of spirit to take over, to lift it up, to work it out in the invisible spaces that we trust and have faith in and know that something is happening there. And it's not so helpful if we're spinning in the problem, right? So to speak. So what we praise increases, what we praise increases. So what is that exercise, that example, that way that we praise something is, in, at least in unity speak, it's blessings, right? We bless, and it's something, we know something is multiplied by our blessing. So every Sunday we say blessings, and for some of you who've been here for a long time saying the same blessings for a while, it might get kind of rote, and you might forget, oh, right, the words I'm saying right now have power. So I want to remind us that when we are in this collective space together, and together over the airwaves, so to speak, and outside and wherever we are as a community, even if we're not here, we are a part of this knowing. So when we say a blessing that is so powerful, think about our prosperity blessing. I find that so powerful. Divine love, one with me. I mean, speaking to that oneness and that love blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive. That is a powerful statement of truth. And so if we can align ourselves in heart and mind with what we are saying, we participate in the collective raising up of prosperity in every form for everyone. It's so much bigger than just blessing ourselves or blessing our own community. It's got that kind of power that amplifies out. But part of it is we need to be aware of what we're saying and feel into what we're saying. When we bless the children, when they are blessed and appreciated and loved and told that they are the very divine light of the world, I would have loved that as a child. Would you have liked that as a child? To stand up in front of a bunch of adults and have them give you this sincere blessing of your love and your light and your importance and your appreciation on this earth? Wow, imagine what that's going to do for the psyches of these young people when we bless them week after week after week. Imagine what hurdles will come in their lives that they can overcome because they've been told they are the very essence of the divine, that they are appreciated and loved by a bunch of adults who've never even met them. That is potent. And so to know what we are doing, what we are saying, what we are thinking, what we are feeling, is to know that we are working with this incredible engine of power that brings forth exactly what we dream of in any given day. With ease, with joy, with grace, with that knowing that anything is possible. So you can practice this in everyday life. You know, you don't necessarily have to put your hands up and say blessings out loud at the grocery store and everywhere you go, because that might not be received by everyone around you. But maybe just a silent blessing, right? Just sending a silent blessing wherever you go. Just blessing that person with prosperity, with good health, with love, with companionship, with whatever it is, or just a blessing in general of that person. I hope your day is just really beautiful. You can say it out loud, or you can just say it to you say it silently. It has energy. Have you ever said something kind to somebody, maybe a compliment or an affirmation, or called out something good you see about them, and they had like a physical shift where their face brightened in some way, or maybe they stood up taller? Yeah, we've had those moments. We've received it too, probably in the same way. So my nephew Jack is living on his own now as a young man. This is new for him this year, and he just got a job cleaning up the dining room. And so I texted him a couple days ago, and I said, "Hey, Jack, you know, congratulations on your job." And then we were back and forth, and I said, "Hey, I bet your boss is really impressed with the job you're doing, because your mom says you do an excellent job cleaning your apartment." Well, he's not the most expressive guy. And what came back was a resounding yes and a trail of emojis. And so it's like we never really know, right, how our appreciation, how working this law of appreciation, or the law of attraction for that matter, will affect. But what we do know is there's goodness in it. And so if we keep lining ourselves up, keep staying aware of our thoughts and feelings and the power to appreciate and praise, good things happen everywhere. The laws of appreciation and the laws of attraction are always at work. They are always working. They're always available to us. They're always here to make your life sweeter. But as Sue K. Riley says, you gotta work it, right? It works when I work it. And so let's do that. Let's do that together. Let's work these laws, especially this week and always. I invite you to affirm this with me. Together, I attract good into my life by my thoughts, feelings, and appreciation. And so it is. Mm-hmm.